But I just gotta know one thing. Are you ready? No! I said, are you ready?
This is Brotherly Love Wrestling Podcast, a member of the Pulse Podcast Network, and your first stop for everything professional wrestling. So sit back and enjoy wrestling talk at its finest with your hosts, Larry Hall and Joe Corrado.
And we're back with yet another episode of Brotherly Love Wrestling Podcast. And I know you missed us because we're that great. And what a fucking weird week it was in wrestling. Just weird all over the place.
Yeah, the superstar shakeup. A lot of different superstars going back and forth.
Which you kind of figured was going to happen. I mean, they needed to shake it up, quote unquote, or change it up. They needed to do something that was different.
And you could see that they're building towards Fox with SmackDown. With who went over, they're slowly getting the pieces in place for October.
Yeah. Yeah. They really did shake it up.
Mm-hmm.
And it just bizarro world levels on Raw. It was almost like a, wait, what? What the? So that will lead us into our first segment because it's the talk of the town. Yes. It's what everyone wants to talk about. It's what everyone wants to hear about it. So here we are, the Berserker Files. Hey, Lara. What was the Berserker? What was his occupation in the WWF?
His work?
His shtick.
Okay, what was he was a Viking.
He was a Viking.
Yeah.
Anything else happened this week regarding any Vikings?
Well, the biggest story probably to come out of the shakeup is the Viking experience.
Are you experienced? Do you want to be experienced?
A.K.A. War Raiders.
A.K.A. War Machine.
Correct.
A.K.A.
Thank you, by the way, because I've been racking my brain the last 2 days. I could not remember what their New Japan name was. I was like, what was it? It blew my mind. I could not remember. And it was half the name. I was already there. I couldn't, for the life of me, pull it out of the back of my head. Thank you, War Machine. God damn it. You know how much that bothers me?
I'm going to let you in on a little secret. Now, in this day and age,
I know, I could have looked it up, but I just didn't.
There's this fancy thing that all the millennials, all the little kids are talking about these days. They even have their own product where you just say, hey, Google.
I know this.
What was War Raider's name in New Japan? You could have done that.
I know,
you have
I could have.
Right on your phone. You talk and you look on your... You're probably looking at your phone while you were thinking of this.
I wasn't. I was in the middle of a conversation with someone else talking about it, but I just couldn't think of it, and I didn't Google it.
You blanked.
Sue me.
You blanked for 2 days. It drove you nuts for 2 days.
Well, I mean, it drove me nuts that day, and then I hadn't thought about it again until you said it, and then popped in my head and how pissed I was that day when I couldn't look it up. But yeah, so back to it. Look, it's a bad name. It's a very, very bad name. But
the more people hate it, the more I like it.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm glad we're on the same page because I feel the same way.
The more people hate things and the more people say, well, this is so stupid. Why would they do this? The more I'm like, well, Vince is kind of a genius.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when he changed that name, he's like, I don't know if he liked it. I don't know if he's crazy. I don't know. But every single person talked about that and how that was stupid. Doesn't matter. It got everyone talking. And it was like, it's a what the fuck moment. Yes, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
It is. But he's brilliant in the fact that I'm going to do something so fucking outlandish that everyone's going to talk about. Because people are fickle.
So would you like to know why he changed it? The reason that he made it?
You're throwing another segment into this segment. Don't make me hit the button. Don't you dare make me hit the button. I'll hit the button.
Vince wanted War Raiders to be on the Superstar Shakeup, so he demanded their name be changed to the Viking Experience to keep Raw family friendly. Vince believes a team with the name War in it isn't nice for the kids.
Raw is what?
Yeah, exactly. Well, that's why it's not Raw is War anymore. So, but the person that
you literally
put this out there
had a man,
made me
a
laugh.
Behemoth, on your family-friendly show, use a grappling hook to tear down a set on top of two people, incapacitating them and probably killing them in real life. But the name War Raiders was too unfamily-friendly. You had a man lift up another man's car and completely destroy it. Same man that also lifted up a truck and flipped it over. Now, you're saying that with the word war, now you've put it into the subconscious of little children. And now they're like, ooh, this team's cool. Their name's War. Let's go start a war. But seeing someone flip a truck, they're like, oh, well, I can't do that. I don't have the physical strength, but I can surely cause a war. That is in me. I can do that. I cannot flip this truck because it weighs too much, but I can start a war. So now we're going to have a bunch of little kids running around want to be Vikings?
Guess that's better than war.
What do you think Vikings did? Read a damn book.
I don't know. Look, I don't agree with it.
They were war raiders of the sea.
They could have been the Vikings. You didn't need experience. Or they could have been the Raiders.
Yes, but you need that little extra. Like, what can we do that's really going to... If we call them the Vikings, yes, it's going to be weird. And it's going to probably make people question... But you just call them... But how do we make this... How do we take this to the next level and really just twist the nipples of all the fans out there, quote-unquote fans and experts? How do we really just get them... Like, how do we get this just... We want to skyrocket this into the insanity level. We'll call it the Viking experience. Like, it's some sort of fucking kids ride. So, mommy, I want to go on the Viking experience again. It's like a 3D show in Disney.
You're right. Actually, it sounds exactly like that. It's exactly what it sounds like.
You are entering the Viking experience. Keep your seatbelts on in the seating compartment. Do not look to your left or your right because you will become nauseous. You are in the Viking experience. So, can you handle the experience?
Do you want to know what they were originally going to be called before they were changed to from War Raiders? There was a middle name.
I have to keep
it. And then
it.
The Viking Experience. Guess what that middle name was, or not middle name, but that name originally was before they changed it to Viking Experience.
I have to guess. Let me guess. It has to be family friendly. They wanted to call them...
You're going to be way off because you're thinking way too much about it.
Oh, this is stupid? It was just plain and simple?
Yeah, plain and simple.
They wanted to call them pirate booty.
No. They wanted to call them the Berserkers.
Ah.
That's what they wanted their names to be.
Well, what the fuck? Why didn't they go with that?
I don't know, but it was scrapped and changed the Viking experience.
Well, the Berserker was never really that over, and they probably wanted this tag team to be somewhat successful.
Yeah.
I mean, you don't want to set them up for the go of it to be mid-carders. Or lower mid-carders, I should say.
Yeah, yeah. But, I mean, with these guys, regardless of what their names are, the bottom line is they're talented as hell. They're amazing in the ring, and they're going to get over it.
I don't know. I think they might have stifled them a little bit, but you never know with the crazy-ass fans that we got today.
Yeah.
It might be do a 180 and everyone will like it all of a sudden. Yes, they are a force to be reckoned with in the tag division. I like that they actually brought an actual tag team up. That is a tag team. They're tag team wrestlers. Actually do something with them now.
Yeah.
I mean, the tag team division as a whole has just been so faulty on both ends. Because, I mean, the women, you have to put people together. There's not really pure tag teams. And the pure tag team that they had, they split up in the Riot Squad.
Yes.
I mean, and what was the other one? Sanity, another tag team, split them up. Now they're split up three ways, I think.
Yeah. Before we get into that, I have one more story.
Huss!
And this is a follow-up to last week's story.
Huss?
So, remember Gianni Sosa, the guy who tried to RKO his principal?
Oh, yes. This was my favorite story of last week.
So, he's at it again.
Uh-oh.
He got arrested again.
I'm okay with this. I don't know what he did, but I'm hoping that this is so like his thing.
There is another video of it, but he's 18. I don't know where they are, but it's in like a gated outside kind of garden area. He takes his shirt off, jumps over the gate where there's this fake alligator laying in this little pond, flips the alligator, picks it up by its neck, and RKOs the alligator in this garden type area.
Well, here's the kid's problem. It wasn't out of nowhere again. I mean, he didn't sneak up on the alligator.
He went head first.
I think he needs a new moveset. I think he needs to reprogram. I think he needs to add a couple. He needs to go through the weird back alley indies. He's got to hone his craft a little bit more. He's got to get his timing and his rhythm down, and then he can go out and start performing to random objects and people.
The best part is how they end the description of what happened.
Because it's a non-wrestling person describing.
It's just, it basically says, before performing a wrestling move on it that the police are identifying as RKO, a move popularized by WWE wrestler Randy Orton, he then pretends to pin the gator.
Now there is good ring psychology.
Exactly.
Now, anytime you hit a finisher, you go for the pin.
Yeah.
You don't sit there and wait for the crowd's approval or to get arrested. You go for the pin. Once you've won the match, then you can go to prison. And now you are the champion walking into... You've defeated the alligator and your principal. Now you walk into prison the champion. Now you have a huge target on your back and you need to really buckle down. Now, if you're going to start hitting RKOs in prison, make sure you practice.
And they better be out of nowhere. All right, so let's move on to this week's news.
Oh, RKO out of nowhere. Oh, he got a shiv in his back.
This week's news, as we kind of touched on a little bit, the Superstar Shakeup. A lot Chiquita. Of people.
I wouldn't say a lot.
I mean,
I'd say a healthy part of the roster moved, like top tier talent.
Well, yeah, 12 people go from Raw to SmackDown. And then I think just about the same. No, about actually a little bit more. About 18 went to Raw. But the one thing you didn't see was Samoa Joe is going to be on Monday Night Raw because he was sick Monday night. So they didn't have him come out or anything. But that's why Balor went to SmackDown because they switched the titles.
They do it every year.
Yeah.
It's not a surprise. And they already started the Strowman versus Joe storyline, sort of.
Yeah. So that's the only one that no one's seen was Joe. So Samoa Joe will now be on Monday Night Raw.
And there was two people that are going to be pulling double duty. Now, the one you already know is going to be Becky Lynch.
Of course.
Because she's got both titles. And until someone takes one of those titles, she's probably going to bounce around for a little bit. She's your most, quote-unquote, overact in wrestling. But the other one, who, he's just a put-you-to-sleep type guy. And I think I did. He came out, and I fucking instantly, boom, fell asleep. Lars Sullivan. What is the infatuation with Lars Sullivan? Is he the new legend killer?
Well, they have him as being on SmackDown now.
But I thought I saw that he was also on Raw, because he was on Raw as well.
Yeah, but from the list they have, he's a SmackDown superstar now.
So each show has their monster.
Yes.
Who's going to try and wreak havoc over the roster.
Correct.
I mean, how do you build I know how they do it, because they do it with every big unstoppable force that they think that they have. It's just that you put him with the small guys, he destroys them, and then he finally works his way up to the big guys and he can't hang because
they're too athletic.
Not only that, but they can't fully commit to these big guys because no one wants to see them. They
have a shelf life, is what you're saying.
Yes, they have a very, very narrow shelf life. You saw that with Strowman. Part of that was booking. They never really fully committed to him. And I see the same thing happening to a lesser extent with Lars Sullivan. He's not a guy that is title material. He's not a guy that's going to do anything for your championship. He is destined for mid-card. He's Ryback.
Yeah.
You bring him in, he's this monster. Except Ryback got over. I don't see Lars Sullivan getting over in the slightest.
Yeah, he really doesn't seem that way.
He comes in with no... he doesn't even have he just yells. We already have that. Yeah. One yells his name, the other one just yells. We already have that. Mm-hmm. There was no character development for him. He didn't come in with anything. He came in being big, and now he's just slamming.
Well, I mean, it was the same. For the first time, it's the same exact thing from NXT. This is the only one they haven't fucked with.
Because what were they going to do?
I agree. But you know what I mean?
What does he have to offer besides he's big and he can slam people? And he can yell.
Yeah, I haven't gotten him even in NXT. I never saw it, so I don't know. I can't defend him whatsoever.
He's got a certain it factor for certain people. Vince-minded people that the land of the Giants. It still needs to be the land of the Giants. But he will never... He won't. I don't see it ever happening.
So, another piece that I think that kind of went under the radar is Chad Gable going to SmackDown. Or... I'm sorry. Yeah. Yeah, he's on SmackDown. But why is it not
Bobby Roode?
Bobby Roode.
Did they split them up, or are you reading
faulty? Yeah, they are. They must have.
Or are you reading?
Because why would because he was on Raw before.
They had a match Monday night.
Yeah, so okay. Why I don't know why I automatically assumed they were on SmackDown, but Chad Gable, yeah, will be on SmackDown now. Which means that finally they broke up because I guess they assumed they weren't getting over.
Well, anyone could have told you that. Yeah. Because they're both... Bobby Roode needs the right partner. We know who that partner is. And yes. They haven't signed them, nor is... Do I think that they have any intentions to?
But yeah, it depends on what you want in the future for Bobby Roode. You know what I mean? If you want him to be a tag team, then that's who you go sign and you resurrect Beer Money.
I don't foresee that ever happening. Bobby Roode can last on his own.
The actual gimmick. I'm just saying them as a tag team.
They're so overpopulated in that company.
You're right.
They are very, very... And they have their crop of who they want and who they want to push. And now that Vince has brought up certain NXT people and give them a spotlight, now you've just pushed the people back even further that haven't had a spotlight to begin with. I mean, I get it. The superstar shakeup is here, but give it maybe a month, and the same people that didn't have those opportunities will continue to not get those opportunities. It's just the same. I mean, especially with here, you trade Roman for Styles.
Mm-hmm.
They both need their time. They're both going to get it. Thankfully for Raw, they have an extra hour, but they haven't been able to use that extra hour wisely and for God knows how long.
Yeah, not at all.
It just leaves you with new matchups, same problem.
Yeah. Yeah, you don't know where who to fit where and how much time allotted for any one of them.
I got to say, yeah. Mo wrestlers, mo problems.
I mean, it's true. aside from the shakeup, there's two losses to the WWE, and one is Alexander Wolfe saying goodbye to SmackDown Live, but...
Going back to NXT.
But going back to NXT.
So not really saying goodbye.
But to the main roster. And it sucks because Sanity was so good as a whole.
I'm okay with this because it gives Eric Young hopefully something to do on SmackDown.
Yeah.
Or is it Raw? No, it was Raw. He moved to Raw.
Eric Young is on Raw. Correct.
So hopefully it'll give him something. I mean, he's perfect. I mean, I hate to say it, but he's not going to get those pushes to main event level, but he's perfect for mid-card matchups.
Yeah. Well, and that's the thing. You have Wolf going back down to NXT.
And they said nothing about Killian Dane.
Killian Dane is, hanging in purgatory at this point, not doing anything.
I wouldn't be surprised if he stayed on SmackDown to be the first or maybe second or third meaningful feud for Lars Sullivan, because they killed it and they tore it down in NXT, those two, that, well, what do? We play their greatest hits.
Yeah.
And we run that for 4 weeks. He'll come out to the aid of someone that Lars Sullivan's beating down, which is going to continue to happen every week until someone stops him, so why not have Killian Dane be the first one that steps up? Now you got your big guy versus big guy.
Well, and Killian Dane is that different type of big guy. He's the guy that, I mean, a lot like Hansen,
yes,
from War Raiders.
No.
I don't care. I'm not going to say it.
But are you going to be experienced?
You have that super athletic big guy that doesn't, that shouldn't in any way be that athletic when you see him in the ring, but he is. And he's so entertaining and so good that it can make you tolerate Lars in these matches because Killian Dain can make him look a lot better than he actually is.
Lars Sullivan is decent.
I'm not, let me say that. I'm not saying that he can't
fit,
do anything.
They fit perfectly
But they
together.
Fit together, exactly. Yeah. They make him, he just makes him look better. He already is serviceable in the ring. He just makes him look, takes him to another step, basically.
Yeah.
But the actual loss is Luke Harper asking for his release and releasing a statement thanking the fans.
I wonder why he did that.
I don't know. His contract's not up till November. Yeah. And he asked to be released now.
It's becoming the popular thing to do. What's the only thing that's more popular than wrestlers asking for the release is people telling them that they should ask for the release. That's the only thing that's more popular right now.
Because they deserve better.
Yes.
Yeah, because the fans know these guys.
Yes, the feelings that they know. They know, everyone must know what's going on in the back. I have to know. When the fuck did we have to know what the hell was going on in the back? It's the entitled era. The entitled era of, I have to know everything. I'm entitled to my opinion. I'm entitled to know everything, no matter what. They've already killed kayfabe. They've done it. They've killed kayfabe. And now they're just trying to bury the whole business as a whole.
Who would you blame on killing kayfabe?
When did that actually die? Was it the finger poke of doom? Did that kill kayfabe?
See, I would go before that. I think a lot of people would agree that I think the curtain call was a big, big shot to kayfabe.
Yeah, I would say that that's probably true for everyone that got to witness it. I mean, not until everyone was able to go online and see it. I mean, I think that the culprit is the internet.
Yeah, that's true.
The accessibility and the people that get this information and feel obligated to put it out for everyone else to see it, because people need to see what is going on. And they have, luckily for us now, we have people that can get information from behind the scenes and put out spoilers and rumors that just so happen to be true and get everyone worked up over. It's all about getting people talking. I get it.
Yeah.
But there was a time where you did less talking, you did more watching, and a lot more people enjoyed it then. But now you have everyone telling you how you should feel about X, Y, and Z. Now, well, they said it, so now I have to either counteract my argument and not feel that way and fight them on it. Not physically, because people don't do that anymore. They have to fight them over online, on the line. They have to go out on the line and get so experienced that now that they have their experience, they're able to put their experience into words, and now they're going to verbally assault the person that told them how they thought they should think they should feel.
Couldn't put it better myself.
Yep.
Yeah, sounds about right. But see, and the other thing about that is I kind of wish, now watching it the way we do and getting all the information the way we do, that you could go back to kayfabe. And you know what I mean?
Oh, absolutely.
It made wrestling so much better at the time.
It would make it better today.
It really would. Can you imagine not knowing that these guys...
Could you imagine that, okay, lives. Now you don't have the internet. You don't know why Sasha is out. Now you have no idea why Sasha is out. You don't know if she's not happy or anything. You'd have to dig really, really deep. And now all of a sudden, everyone had the assumption that she's so unhappy. They could have played this into a storyline, brought her back as something even better. Now that people have this... already this vision of her, and now she's whiny and she's never happy in the back, blah blah blah, she shouldn't be, she's been in multiple title opportunities, blah blah blah, or she deserves better because her title opportunities have only lasted 20
however
days.
Many days, yeah.
But now you have a predisposed viewpoint on this person when you could have kept everything under wraps. You bring them back and now you just think that, oh, they're an arrogant prick. Now they're a heel.
Yeah.
You could still pull it off to a certain extent. Look what they did with Daniel Bryan. But everyone turns into this. Now everyone has to use this, which I give them credit for. They use the internet to their advantage. Like Sami Zayn coming out and calling all the fans out. It's a good way to get heat.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And now you can't decipher whether, oh, well, they don't mean it. This is just fake now. Now it becomes fake. Now all of a sudden, kayfabe is back.
Yeah.
They don't mean this. They couldn't, because why would this be?
They never said this before. Why all of a sudden would they say it now?
Now this is just kayfabe.
So probably one of the most famous kayfabe, non-kayfabe moments in wrestling history. A documentary called Dark Side of the Ring. If you haven't been watching it, highly, highly suggest you watch it.
Viceland.
It is a great, great documentary each time. We watched the Macho Man one. They happen to have the Bruiser Brody one on demand, which I watched. And then last night, they did the Montreal Screwjob, which we have done a show of. If you want to go back and listen to it, episode 62. And it's one of, especially from myself and Joe, him being a Bret Hart fan, me being a Shawn Michaels fan, it's one of those battles and one of those storylines that lives forever, and you remember exactly
how it
went down.
Different inputs to, and different, like, oh no, now I came up with the screwdriver, and now this was my idea, and you get so many different layers of it. Oh, now Earl Hebner knew everything. He had a feeling that this was a work.
Yeah, and that's the biggest thing, is that if you watched it, or even if you haven't watched it, you're not going to break any new ground here. It's a majority of the same stories, because it's the same people. It's Cornette, it's Vince Russo, it's Brett, it's Earl Hebner, it's Bruce Pritchard. It's all the people that were involved, with the exception of probably Sean, Vince, and Hunter are the only people you're really missing. But
I wonder why Vince didn't want to do it.
After everything happened and after it aired, Earl Hebner was on Boston Open Radio with Bully Ray. And he thinks and he believes that it's a work, that Brett knew the whole time, and he just would always say it to protect Brett, because he swore Brett knew. And he said, for the last 18, 19 years, I think both of them knew. Why would you let a man put you in his own finish? When I asked if he thought Bret Hart was on it or in on it, he said, yeah, I really do. I'm not going to lie about it anymore. I always tried to protect Brett.
And
which is why he never said it.
A different layer to a story that will continue to be the greatest mystery in all of wrestling, because no one will ever tell you this God's honest truth about what actually happened. You'll get stories from the wrestlers themselves, who could also be lying straight to your face.
Absolutely.
And we already go through this in the show that we did, the special,
yes,
our Montreal Screwjob, trying to put our phenomenal expertise in to what we all have witnessed,
mm-hmm,
now years and years ago.
Yeah.
I still think Vince screwed Brett.
I think it's a work. I still think it's a work. I honestly do. Everyone came out so good.
And you know what? You know how I know Vince screwed Brett? Vince hired that guy to tackle Brett for his acceptance speech. He's a fucking McMahon. He's Chachi McMahon came and fucking his 2-1 record.
I don't know. Yeah,
he probably won by tackle.
Yeah,
he won by tackle. That's it. He just tackled him into a TKO. Oh, his tackle was too hard. That's a win.
Scott Hall is in it as well, and he also says, he was like, look at Brett's face. Like, does that look like a guy who's shocked? Does that...
Look at Brett's face.
Vince is another one. He talks about how...
Vince is a bad guy.
Vince gets spit in the face, and the camera zooms in on him. If that were fake, or that were real, you know what I mean? They wouldn't be airing that and zooming in on Vince's face.
No, that one went black.
Exactly. So there are things that lead you to believe it. And then Jim Cornette at the very end of the special says, if you believe it was a work, you are a dickhead. Like, well, of course he's going to say that, because he's probably in on it. You know what I mean?
He's in the circle of
knowledge. Where
he's in enough. Well, he was in enough back in the fucking 70s and 80s.
Yeah.
So he was one of the pioneers of wrestling.
Yes. So, yeah,
Jim Cornette was one of the pioneers.
He's been in every single promotion there is, done everything there is to do in the wrestling business.
Swings a hell of a racket.
Yeah, yeah, that too. Yeah, so it'll always be a work in my mind. I don't care. I can't be convinced otherwise.
You're a dickhead.
Yep.
I'm going to start calling you the Dickhead Express.
So
Experience.
Experience.
Get damn it. Right.
Not Express.
Wait, I think I like... No, I was going the with Midnight Express.
Oh, I got you.
The Dickhead Express. The Dickhead Express experience. Not too long.
No, way too long.
The DEE.
Yeah. Much better. So I have, I don't know, one rumor? Look at all these rumors surrounding me every day. I just need some time, to get away from all these rumors. I can't take it no more. If my best friend says what I never meet in the girl next door. All right, so I, this one, I don't know. It's light.
Playing it close to the chest?
I don't know. It's just, I just picked it up because I saw it. And
it's
meh. It makes Bailey look really, really weak because the report came out of her being angry with the Montreal crowd. After Bailey went back into the backstage area, she was visibly angry and upset with the response the crowd gave her on SmackDown when she came out on Thursday.
Now, did she
night.
Say this?
This is just a report.
People saying what people said?
Bailey was rushed into a room about her behavior where people could hear her shouting in anger.
I'm tired of this shit.
They just, you know what though? Her and Sasha, if this is all a shoot.
Work?
What? No, if it's all real, if it's all a shoot, they're coming off as the biggest babies in the world. That, oh, well, you promised me this, but you took the titles off of us and, oh, they booed me. Come on.
It's kind of the way the business works.
Yeah, it's just
kind of what you signed up for.
Exactly. Like you, and not only that, they're lifetime fans. So it's not like this is new to them.
Not only that, but if you're looking at it in an employee world and you're looking at it as your next employer will see you as whiny babies who will only want to work if you're getting title promises, what if we don't want to give you the title? What if we're trying to build a division that people were going to earn their chances and they're not just going to be handed the title?
Exactly.
If they're going to a new company that started up with some of the most popular wrestlers in the business today, if they get signed there, they're going to expect a title that's going to be in their contract. If that is really what they are, like once you go to this new promotion, you're going to expect to be on the top because you worked for the WWE, because you were at the top already. So now you have to be at the top of every other company. It's not the way it works. You're building things elsewhere. For you to come in and get the title right away, I mean, I like when that doesn't happen. I like it that it's more seldom seen, unless you're Ronda Rousey.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's just, I don't know, it bothers me. I've always been a really big fan of Sasha Banks, primarily because of the work that she did in NXT, because she was amazing heel. She put on amazing matches. The Iron Woman match was revolutionary. They tore it up, her and Bayley. But
it was a mistake making them a tag team.
Yes, which is what everyone was saying when they did it.
You forced them to become a tag team. They're not tag team wrestlers. You have to have, you can't be practicing on TV.
Yeah.
Which is, it felt like that's what they were doing. And that's where you get all these people bitching at Sasha for botching so much shit. They're trying to be creative on something that they're not 100% comfortable with.
And not only that, yes, like once they became a tag team and realized, oh, well, we're not going to get this singles push, so I guess we have to commit to this. Let's try and get the belts out of it. They finally got the titles, and then they get promised that they're going to defend them at Saudi's show, and then they get taken away immediately at Mania. They have one defense.
They're not going to be on the Saudi show.
They were going to be. Women were going to be allowed for the first time.
Oh, jeez.
That's the rumor.
They're really milking these Saudi trips, aren't they?
But apparently the Saudi prince was going to allow, or is going to allow, women to wrestle. And they were promised that they could defend the titles at Saudi. So it would be the first ever, you know what I mean, women's match, tag team titles. They would be, you know what I mean? So,
well, here's the thing.
Wouldn't it
mean more if you actually won them in Saudi and became the first ever two-time champs?
I see where you're going. I don't know. I think just to do it, I think because they're not the champs, it was just, you know what I mean?
I mean, to me, it would mean more, say you lose them at Mania. Yes, that sucks, but be the first to be the first women to be able to wrestle in Saudi and win the titles there.
But after they took the titles off them, who's to say that they said, oh, we're going a different direction? And they weren't
Look,
even going to be,
I
you know what I mean?
I don't know, but honestly, they should be singles. They should be top-tier singles mixed in with Charlotte, Becky, and all them. I mean, they are now your veterans, minus Natty.
Yeah.
They're now your who you look towards for solid matches and all that. Like, the steadiness of your women's division is those
four. They're the core.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So you build around them, which for some reason is a problem.
Yeah, I guess because of how hard they fought to get the titles, and then they were going to get them, then they weren't going to get them, and they finally did get them. They win it, promised this thing at Saudi, and then they get them taken off on their second title defense. So then they're feeling, I guess, cheap because they were lied to. Well, you know what? That's the wrestling business. Things change.
They have to. If things don't change and they stay the same over and over and over again, then that's how you hurt your company.
And granted, it was only one defense and they lost them. So yes, they could have held on to them longer. Absolutely. Well, but
honestly, did they really need to win them? Did they need to be the first inaugural women's champions? Probably not.
Need to be? No, they didn't need to be at all. It doesn't
help them. The most over tag team in that match was the Iconics.
Because they're an actual tag team. No one else really was.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Slowly converting them. Slowly converting them to the right way of thinking. You hear that out there? The right way of thinking.
I'll tell you what.
It's an experience.
What had me probably smiling the entire segment was the Sami Zayn on the Moment of Bliss. Because
you knew it was coming. You had to have known it was coming.
The reaction, I did. But I want to know if it was someone ribbing him that they kept playing his music, or that was planned that way. Because
I think there might have been some...
Because it looked by the third time that he wasn't expecting it, and he kind of had to get up and go keep doing it. He looked like he was already blown up by the time that third time hit. And he was just like, gets up and does it again anyway, just because.
I mean, the fans fed it. Oh, the fans fed it perfectly. He played it in the palm of his hand. He played it to a T, and you knew it was coming. You knew he was getting ready to just completely bury them.
Yes.
And it was his hometown.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, when he started the Ole chant, and it was just...
He had them.
Oh, it was
hook,
great.
Hook, line, and sinker. Know what? If that was some sort of improv that they did in the back, kudos to them, because it worked.
Yes. Yeah, I loved every second
of it. They were so worn out from that they couldn't even get up for KO the next night.
That was...
They were probably so fucking... They were probably so scarred that they're like, is KO going to do it to us too? Yeah. I don't know if we should cheer him.
Yeah.
Is he going to berate us on live TV as well? Fuck it, we'll do it.
One of the funniest things was him trying to fill in Big E's shoes.
Big O was... I thought that was great. Oh. And I saw what you put out. I saw the tweet that you were hoping that KO turned. Yes. And you know what? I was having so much fun with Big O that I didn't want that to happen.
I didn't want it either because I like when he can be that way. But I just saw a potential for Kofi versus him for a first program. And if we're getting Kofi versus heel Owens for the title,
I don't know
whether he wins it or not is irrelevant. It's just going to be a really good build and a really, really good match. That's what I was looking for. But hey, if I get Big O for the next couple weeks, I'm completely okay with it.
You know what they might do? Because WWE's crazy like this, they might try and insert a new member to fill in for Big E each week. I don't know if you're going to top Big O, yeah, but I think R-Truth would probably...
R-Truth would work.
Would probably work.
Yeah.
But it would be funnier if they used... I don't know. Who we got on that roster would be funny to use. Well, Rusev would have worked if he was a face. Rusev would have been fucking perfect.
Yes. Yeah, he would have been gold. Absolutely. I can't remember. There was another superstar on Twitter who tweeted at them and said he wanted to be an honorary member. But I cannot.
Was it No Way Jose?
It was not No Way Jose. He would be a good one. He could fit right in as well.
Apollo Crews?
No.
Is he just Crews or is he just Apollo? I think he's just Apollo.
I think he's just Apollo.
I think he's Apollo 13?
No. That's a movie about space.
Oh.
And no, he's not Apollo Creed before you ask.
Okay.
But anyway,
I don't know any more Apollos.
I know. The other thing I thought was interesting was Braun Strowman sending EC3 through the table.
I thought it was more interesting that EC3 came out, got absolutely destroyed. I mean, at least he was in a match, kind of?
Yeah.
He was out there. He got his participation trophy that night, but that sent him way down.
Yeah, is this what he's going to be now? For EC3?
Look.
Or is it just a time filler until they find something for him?
I think that they have a grasp Because the internet crowd is not in the crowd. The internet
correct.
The internet crowd is not in that live
yes.
atmosphere.
Yep.
They can be. They can want their voice to be heard so much. I mean, it only works for certain people. Kofi, like to a T, that worked for.
Yep.
Becky. I mean, it's good. The internet crowd will get, but there's not enough backing for EC3. Yes, he is a great wrestler. Yes, he's a great character. Yes, he could probably add a lot to Raw in the mid card because I don't see them actually doing that push again. He's not their guy.
Yeah, which is obviously the recurring problem is that if he's not homegrown straight out of NXT and they build the character and is their character, with the exception of a couple guys, they typically don't push those guys from other companies.
And I don't see that them being able to do it creatively enough to where he's going to get over massively for the live crowd.
Yeah.
For they're going to get him to be invested enough that everyone's going to get behind him or everyone's going to boo him. I don't feel like they're going to invest enough in EC3 for that to happen. So, unfortunately, unless they prove me wrong, I see EC3 being that guy. Being that Braun Strowman gets beat up. I don't see him winning a lot.
Just basically he'll be spot hand- filler gimmick type spots.
He'll be like
spots.
No Way Jose. He'll be enhancement. He'll be like Mojo Rawley, enhancement. He'll be in the back posing in a mirror and not saying anything.
Yeah.
He's going to be one of those. Until they prove everyone wrong that they're going to actually invest in some of this superstar shakeup bullshit and start pushing the people that have been shaken up and not just Reigns, Elias, Balor, and then Joe, Styles, and who was the other big name that came over? Usos.
Usos, yeah. That's it. That's, and the Miz. And that's huge, yeah. And that's huge for Raw's tag division, having the Usos.
The Usos are basically now... are your top guys
yes.
in that tag division.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
You need to build around it, though. You need to do something with that tag division. You have a solid core now.
Yeah.
Now just let it ride. Don't let it be the same matches over and over each fucking week.
And that's the other thing is where the hell... AOP's hurt, right? One of the members of AOP, is hurt.
They were, but they haven't... They've proven that they haven't been able to do anything with them either when they weren't.
True. Seeing the division
in
my head.
We will call them Ascension 2.0.
Basically. So the one thing I did, because myself and Joe, we haven't really spoken about Raw or SmackDown as far as what each other have thought. Did you see AJ coming as the third guy?
Yes.
You did?
I predicted it and actually ruined someone's night when I said it's probably going to be AJ, and they didn't want it to be AJ.
Because
I wasn't doing that to be a dick, but I was it's going to be Styles.
Yeah. Well, because it almost has to be.
No, it doesn't have to be, but he's done everything he could possibly do on SmackDown. That's
my point.
Same thing with Roman. He did everything. And now, did McIntyre jump?
No.
So McIntyre, I mean, it's got to be Rollins, McIntyre, or Rollins. Unfortunately, it might be Rollins, Corbin.
Rollins McIntyre is already being advertised here in Philly for Extreme Rules.
Yes, but that was way before Rollins even won the title.
Exactly. Well, that's what I'm saying. So
next pay-per-view is Money in the Bank?
Correct.
That's always a great pay-per-view.
Yes. Yeah,
it really is. It's one of those just for the Money in the Bank alone.
Exactly. Yeah.
And I think, my pick would have been McIntyre. But if he's going to actually run a program with Rollins, which I think he should, it should be someone that no one's expecting.
Yeah, I mean...
someone maybe with a valet. Someone that could actually do it. I think Andrade would be perfect.
That's exactly what I was going to say. You're talking about Andrade then.
Yeah, he doesn't need to really speak. But everyone's fucking huge issue with language barriers. If you don't understand it, then don't comment on it.
But see,
if you don't know what they're saying, then don't comment on it.
I don't think big a deal, though.
No, because Spanish is probably spoken more than Japanese.
Exactly, and that's the other thing, is Spanish is so close in this country as the second language that I don't think it's that big a deal. And granted, I don't speak a lick of Spanish, but it... I don't know. It just
me llamo es Joe.
Okay, yeah, I know your name is Joe. But
That's a lick of Spanish. Yeah.
Okay, so I lied. Maybe I speak that.
Luces, por favor. Lights, please.
I knew please. I should have known it was something fucking electricity involved. God damn it.
No, the Spanish teacher would always yell that because when she was trying to use the PowerPoint, she would always yell to the person who was probably sleeping right next to the light switch. They had to turn off the light switch. Luces, por favor. Huh? What? Lights?
Another thing I was looking at about this time with SmackDown is Carmella, how far she has fallen. And it's been the past couple months now.
Has she fallen from what?
Well, last year she was, you're talking about the champion who beat Charlotte Flair twice. And now she's just dance breaks and, you know what I mean?
She won a battle royal.
That's got to be a meaningless battle royal. That's gotta that be means a title absolutely shot. Nothing. No.
Whatever happened when Naomi won it last year? Nothing.
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 No. Yeah.
Nothing.
Nothing.
Mm-mm. Mojo Rawley. Nothing.
Mm-hmm. We've done this already.
It's just nothing.
Yeah.
It's a boat of nothing.
No, and you know what?
She's fallen, but was the shelf life really that high for Carmella?
No, as it really champion, wasn't.
When you have bevy of talent above her that should be holding the title instead of her, who you're going to actually build around. She did what she needed to do. She became the heel. She did really well at it. She won the title, which fucking, who would have thought that was going to come?
Thanks to James Ellsworth.
Whatever. And that was pretty much it. What you need to find is someone who's going to win this briefcase either way, men or women, that can actually do something after they cash it in, because the percentage goes up. I mean, the women are 100% right now.
Yeah, well, yeah.
I mean, Bliss was a good choice.
Very good. Yeah, I really like that. That was.
She was established champion before that. She won the briefcase, cashed in.
Yeah, got it right away.
You knew what she was going to be able to do with it, though. Mm-hmm. I mean, Carmella.
That was complete, yeah.
It was limited.
Yeah. Well, and not only that, the way you were doing it, for it to be the first briefcase and you have a man pull it down.
Yeah, they fucked up from Jump Street.
It cheapens it. The one thing that really, I don't know, I want to say I was confused, but I was kind of happy to see, was the 8-woman tag. The reason I was confused is I'm surprised they didn't bring Io Shirai up instead of, you know what I mean? But they brought up Kairi Sane. And they're doing Kairi Sane with Asuka instead of the Sky Pirates.
This gives something to do for Asuka, so...
Which I thought it was a good idea, yes.
They pretty much... They took the title off her, and then there was really no... She would have been floating. Because mm-hmm. Were they going to give her the rematch, and she was going to lose again to Becky?
Yeah.
So this actually... I mean, and it makes sense. Now you build a tag team. I know, you put them together. This can be the female version of the Bar.
Yeah.
Except... They didn't go through a blood feud to become a tag team. This makes a little bit more sense. And they're both phenomenal wrestlers, so now they're legitimately a viable threat to the titles.
And what do you think about Bayley and Ember Moon?
I think that's forced.
Yeah. Forced
as fuck. Because now, again, you got nothing to do for Asuka, so you bring up another Japanese wrestler. In the stereotypical world of Vince McMahon, like, oh, this makes sense. I mean... Ember hasn't had a good singles run yet. Asuka, great singles run. Kairi Sane was NXT champion.
Yeah.
Good singles run down there. Ember hasn't done anything on the main roster yet. Bayley's established, yes. She won the title, but then got obliterated by everybody else she faced. I mean, you had the storyline for Bayley to break off into singles. She was carrying that team with her and Sasha. She was the one winning. She was the one, the longevity of the match. You could have broke her off, and you could have done it that way. She could have been back in the singles picture, which I think that's where she belongs, and I think the same for Ember Moon. I think Ember Moon will be perfect. Build her up, get her to the point of where she's challenging for a championship. Now, the only singles competitor right now is Lacey Evans and Charlotte Flair.
Yeah.
And Carmella.
Yeah. Yeah, it's those four.
Everyone else is in a tag team.
Yeah, you only got four competitors.
Nia Jax is hurt. You have Natty, who was in the one-off with Beth Phoenix.
One-off, reported, maybe not one-off now.
Back to probably one-off?
Yeah, exactly. It's back and forth with her and Beth Phoenix.
You get one one-off, that equals one. Then you get another minus the one-off, that's zero. Back to one one-off, that's now one. So there was a 40% chance of that being a one-off.
No Scott Steiner math. You already got me confused. It didn't really take that long. I can't believe I'm going to admit this. But I kind of popped when Roman Reigns hit Vince with a Superman punch.
They got him.
They did.
Ladies and gentlemen.
They did.
They got him.
They did.
They got exactly who they wanted. Those filthy fucking marks who bitch and complain behind a microphone every single week. They got him. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm now hosting with Mark. This is the Mark experience.
I loved it. I thought Vince... The slow motion, watching Vince's face look at Roman as he's about to get punched in the face.
Oh, my God.
It was it was priceless. I thought it was perfectly done. I think he might have been a little... Reigns might have been a little too close, but it was great. The slow motion effect was awesome. He hit him dead on.
So who the hell was the biggest acquisition? Was it supposed to be Elias, but really was Roman?
Yeah. Obviously. Yeah. I mean, I love that it was that they pulled out Elias. I thought that was a genius call because you knew that somebody, well, somebody in quotations, was going to interrupt him.
And actually be the biggest.
Of course. And as soon as Elias came out, I'm going, oh, it's Roman.
I'm glad it wasn't Brock.
Me too. Me too.
Because he's not there. He's never there. That's not the biggest. That's a troll move, yes. That's a Vince move for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
I'm glad it didn't go that route because it had a lot of different signs pointing to it could possibly be that route. I mean, I think everyone kind of thought it was going to be Roman.
Yeah. I mean, if it wasn't Roman, I thought it was Brock. It was one or the other.
Now, with Roman on there, what happens with Kofi? Kofi's your champion. You don't want to downplay your champion. Styles rode the top. When he was the champion, he rode the top. I mean, until you got to a pay-per-view, then he was the third from last match.
Yeah.
But he was the top of SmackDown. You have to find a way to keep Kofi on the top.
I think Kofi's dropping that belt by SummerSlam.
You don't think it's before that?
I mean, I could see it being before that, absolutely. But I think at latest, SummerSlam, because now at that point it's August. You only got a month and a half until SmackDown's on Fox. And I think they're going to put that strap on Roman going into Fox. He's going to be the champion going into Fox. Now, it sounds shitty, but I think that's what the company wants.
Okay, so I've seen a lot of rumors and whatnot, or people putting in their two cents about how you have Roman on SmackDown now. Now's a perfect way for him, a time for him to turn heel, such and such. Kofi's your overly huge babyface champion.
Mm-hmm.
And I know people aren't going to like this. And I know people are going to actually despise this.
Okay.
But you have Money in the Bank coming up.
Correct.
What if Roman wins and somehow backhandedly cashes in on your overly huge baby face and absolutely destroys him, turning heel with the briefcase, cashing in, and now you're getting absolutely mauled with booze?
Right kind of booze.
The quickest way, and to him just hold up the briefcase and the fucking championship to end the pay-per-view. Whatever pay-per-view it might be. It might be SummerSlam. Whenever he wants to cash it in.
Yeah.
And there's your way of keeping everyone face and making Roman now this huge heel. If that's the route that you want to take. I don't know if they want to take that route because I still think that they're riding the face for Roman still. But if you were to turn him heel and actually give him a little bit of character on when you're going to Fox, when you can get edgier. You wanted it, now you have it. It's one of the easiest ways to do it.
Yeah, because I mean, you're going to have to do that.
And
it's going to
it's going to pretty much write itself because he's going to win the briefcase. People aren't going to like that to begin with. There's going to be people that aren't going to like that. It's going to slowly come out. He can still play his baby face while he's got the briefcase, but then at the last minute, because it'll end up becoming close with Kofi or whatnot.
Yeah, Yep.
They'll put them in forced tag teams where they'll face the Lars Sullivan and I don't know who's another,
whoever the Daniel Bryan.
Yeah, Daniel Bryan. Something like that.
Yeah.
Well, Daniel Bryan is injured, so.
Well, yeah, I'm just looking like down the road. Yeah. But I mean, and that's the thing is that no matter who it is, this person is going to have to be the ultimate heel because of how much of a babyface Kofi is.
Well, who's to say that a Raw person wins the briefcase?
No, absolutely. I agree.
But you're also going to have them be your top heel because Rollins is your champion.
Exactly. Yeah.
So, ladies and gentlemen, a heel or whoever is a heel or plays a heel on TV will be winning this damn briefcase.
Yeah, pretty much.
Same thing with if Becky's holding both belts. Now, that's an interesting play for a briefcase.
Well, see, and that actually, I like that better because last year they only did two. They did a men's and a women's and they mixed the both.
Which I like.
See, I'd rather have four? Well, I mean, now it doesn't. Now you can mix because you have one title on one girl.
Two titles on
one. Two titles on one girl. So now you can do one for the girls. But I think both shows need one for the guys.
I think that the format was better last year. Just mix them together. Yeah. I think you're draining people. Because now you're pulling too many people off of other matches. Now you have 16 people that have to be, or 12 if they're going to go 6 and 6.
Yeah.
But that's a lot of, that's a good chunk of the roster.
Yeah, but I mean, if it's for a title shot, now you're at least you're getting your six best guys on each show.
Yeah, but what you've just depleted the rest of the card.
But it's Money in the Bank. Those three matches are going to be your main matches. And then you can do whatever an Intercontinental title match or a tag team title match with it.
I will say this. I'm hoping that Ali, Buddy Murphy, and Cedric Alexander make their way to those matches.
Yes. Yeah, for sure. I think those...
Spots alone are going to be crazy.
Those are the underrated moves
to the main roster. Those are some of the ones that might get overlooked. Like, I forgot Cedric Alexander was on Raw.
Mm-hmm.
I forgot Buddy Murphy went to SmackDown.
I love Buddy Murphy's on SmackDown. I love that. Because he's so, so good in the ring. He's amazing.
He's got him versus Finn Balor written all over it.
Yeah. Yeah.
He could be your IC champ right away.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And not only that, a program with them two would be... It'd be insane to just have keep them going back and forth. Not the title go back and forth, but
you mix in Ali in there. I mean, you already know that Murphy and Ali are going to absolutely tear the place down.
Yeah. Now just on the main roster.
Now, if given the time, this could be a very interesting shakeup.
Yeah.
It could be...
Booked correctly, yes.
It could be some sort of experience.
Before our show comes to an end...
So, if could they change Becky Lynch to the Bexperience? That could be your new finishing move. You just got the Bexperience. Am I reaching?
Yeah, a little bit.
What if Val Venus comes back and you call him the Sexperience?
Have you like been thinking of these?
Or no, this is just popped in your head. This is just right now.
Oh, okay. Okay. Yeah. Still.
Or we bring Del Rio back and he's now the Mexperience. See. Oh no, he's gonna hit him with the cross arm breaker, aka the Mexperience. That's a slobber knocker. Slobber knocker.
Any others? Was that it?
I could think.
All right, well, let's end the show with on this day. There's
any,
only
any Slovakian guys?
One, no.
Slovakian women? They can't be the Czech experience?
No, they can't. Damn it. There is none. Since there's nothing on this day to report on as far as stories, we have one birthday that we're going to talk about, and that's
Brooklyn.
All right, I was going to go another way with that. So we have two birthdays then. So the one obviously Joe's talking about is the Brooklyn Brawler.
Will he be in
the ultimate
fame?
The ultimate jobber?
Aw.
Not a bad thing.
You make me feel bad for the guy.
That's not a bad thing. He made a great career out of being the ultimate jobber.
He did.
I mean, look, we're still talking about him. It's not like he just was forgotten. He's one of the best of all time.
He'll never be forgotten.
Not the Brooklyn Brawler. No way in hell. But the one I was wanted to talk about was the amazing Rory Gulak,
who never heard of him,
who turns 29 today. So obviously a multiple time guest on our show,
2-time guest,
and local guy just like us. So we just want to say happy birthday to the amazing Rory Gulak.
It's the amazing experience.
Yeah, I don't think he'd like that either. I don't think so.
I'm going to ask him.
Okay. So we hope you enjoyed the show, and we hope to talk to you very soon. And make sure you follow us on Twitter, if not at 215 Wrestling, and everywhere podcasts can be listened to.
Pluto.